lobby. All right, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 84. Psalm 84. I want to talk to you for a few minutes this morning about love for God's house. Love for God's house. Psalm 84. While you find your way there, recently we had Discovery Track, and we have, I have a list of 18, but it's actually 16 new members, I'll explain, who are joining the church today. And so we want to welcome them. Some of our new members were with us in the 9 o'clock service. Some are here at the 11 o'clock service. But I want to read the names of our newest members here at Harvest Time. And if I read your name and you're in this service, I want to invite you to stand and just remain standing for a moment because we just want to welcome you officially as members of Harvest Time. All right, here are the names of our newest members. Tamara Donovan, Davis and Megan Feliz were with us in the last service. Now, the next names, Rosie and Tom Furlano. I don't know how they got on the list. They've been members for 3 years, but welcome again, Rosie and Tom. We're so glad it's here. I guess it's the third anniversary of your membership. I don't know, but we're glad you're here. Graziano and Natalina Guerrieri are here. Over on the side, Shirley Gomez, Teresa Guccion was in the last service, Michael and Claire Guglielmo, and Michael and Fran Guglielmo are all here. Marie Marchese, they're all sitting in a block. That's the new member block right there. Fabiana and Jared Murray were with us in the first service. Carolyn T.C. Trafficanti. Carolyn, are you here this morning? She's in my life group on Wednesday evenings. And Marie Zamore. These are the names of our, here's Marie right here. Let's just give a great big welcome to our new members. Stretch your hands real quick towards these folks, would you, Father? Thank you for these men and women, these families that you've sent to be part of the Harvest Time family. We extend to them this morning the right hand of fellowship. We bless them, Lord, for good friendships, for a good place in the body. Lord, we bless them for the discovery of their gifts, talents, ability, and calling. And we bless them for the development and for the use of those gifts and callings, Lord Jesus. Father, let your favor just surround them like a shield, we pray. Lord, we bless them for just great friendships here in the Harvest Time family. And we thank you for these folks in Jesus' name. If your heart agrees, say amen. God bless you, new members. You may be seated. Psalm 84. Going to start reading in verse 1. Let's talk about love for God's house. Love for God's house. The psalmist writes, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar, Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, or your translation might say the valley of weeping, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools of blessing. They go from strength to strength till each one appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, O Lord Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a blazing shield. He bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you." Let's talk for a few minutes about love for God's house. So a man in his late 70s decided that it was finally time to treat himself to a little fun. He went down to the car dealership and he rolled out in a brand new Corvette. Taking off down the street, he was up to 80 miles an hour in seconds. This is amazing, he thought. He was exhilarated with the wind blowing through what was left of his hair. He looped onto the highway and he pushed the pedal even harder and the car leapt forward. Just then, a state trooper appeared in his rearview mirror with his lights flashing and his siren blaring. The man floored the vet. 110, 120 miles an hour, he surged ahead of the trooper. As he streaked down the highway, he had a sudden moment of clarity. He thought to himself, "What on earth am I doing? I am way too old for this." He pulled over to the side of the road and waited for the trooper to arrive. The trooper pulled in behind him and cautiously approached the vet. He was surprised when he saw the sheepish-looking older man behind the wheel, and his demeanor softened just a little bit. Looking at his watch, he said, "Sir, it's Friday afternoon, and my shift is over in 15 minutes. If you can give me a good reason for speeding that I've never heard before, I'll let you go." The older gentleman paused for a moment, and then he said, "Well, you see, years ago, my wife ran away with a state trooper, and I was afraid you were bringing her back." Turning on his heel, the trooper replied, "Have a nice day, sir." I have a prayer on my heart this morning. My prayer is that all of us would get as excited about coming to church as the psalmist is in Psalm 84. I pray that worship is something that we would really look forward to every week. I pray that we would be eager to get here, that we would be eager not to miss anything, that we would be eager to get everything we can out of every service. So I guess I was a bit of an unusual kid. Even before I ever had a personal relationship with the Lord, I always loved going to church. My family attended a Presbyterian church around the corner from the home where I grew up. And I loved going to Sunday school. You know, in my young heart, church was a good place. It was a safe place. It was a warm place. The people were kind in church. If my parents were planning on sleeping in on a Sunday morning, I would go into their bedroom and I would harass my mother until she got out of bed and took me to Sunday school. When I was 8 years old, the charismatic renewal swept through our little Presbyterian church. That was 1974. That makes me 53, just to save you doing the calculation. On my bed one night, I prayed a prayer of believing all alone. And when I prayed that prayer of believing, I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And I want to tell you, after that, it was on like Donkey Kong. We went to church twice on Sunday. We went to church on Friday evenings. We went to Bible study groups a couple other nights of the week. And we did that for 15 years. And we didn't do that because anyone told us we had to do that. We went because we were just so spiritually hungry. We loved being in God's presence. We loved learning God's word. We loved being with God's people. That was 45 years ago, and I want to tell you the truth. I look forward to church just as much now as I did back then. I love this place. This psalm is written by a member of the temple worship team. When he says in verse 1, "I love this place, it's beautiful to me, it's precious to me," it's not because of the fancy architecture. It's not a building that the psalmist longs for. The reason that he's eager to get to God's house is not because some grand, symmetrical, ornate facility. It's not because of a beautiful campus. No, the psalmist is eager to get to God's house because he's looking forward to two experiences. He's looking forward to God's presence, and he's looking forward to being with God's people. Listen to what he says in Psalm 84. "I love this place. It's so beautiful to me. It's precious to me. I can't wait to get here because the living presence of the Lord Almighty dwells in this place. Lord Almighty means Jehovah Sabaoth. That's the commander of the angelic armies of heaven. He says, this is his dwelling place, and I eagerly look forward to being in the courts. That's where God's people gather together. Precious friends, that's my prayer for all of us, that we would eagerly look forward to getting here for these two experiences, for the presence of the Lord, and to be with God's people. Did you know that when we come together for worship, God's presence comes to us in an extra special way? Now listen, when we believe in Jesus, his presence is always with us. And we can worship him anytime on our own, and we should. But I want to tell you, something special happens when we worship together. His presence comes in a greater measure, and it comes in a more powerful dimension than when we worship alone. Jesus talked about that. He said, when two or three or four or more gather together in my name, I am there. It's a party in Jesus' honor, and he is pleased to come and attend. And isn't it so much better to worship with a group of people than to sing all by yourself? I sing almost nonstop. My kids will tell you, it drives them crazy. Dad, stop singing. I sing alone all the time, but I can't play the piano like Pastor Nick or like Libna. I can't play the guitar like Mark and Noah and Caleb and Taya. I can't play the percussion like our friend Maurizio. I can't play the drums like Tom and Pete and Raphael. And didn't Colin do an awesome job on the drums this morning? I can't lead worship like our friends Scott and Katie Troyer. That harmonica was like just too cool for school this morning, wasn't it? That was awesome. I can't lead like Dom and Kayla. I can't harmonize like Cheryl and Erica and Monique and Miss Lila and Lara and Jonathan. I can't mic everything and mix it all on the soundboard so that it sounds good like Justice and Christian and Dinesh and Raphael. You know, I want to give a shout out to my friend Justice this morning. Do you know that Justice leaves his house at 0:30 every Sunday morning? He gets here at 6 o'clock on Sunday morning before the sun comes up, and never once has Justice ever complained to me, Pastor Glenn, Sunday's my only day to sleep in. Tell that to Jesus when you stand before him, okay? Justice, we honor you for that. Dinesh and Christian and Raphael and everybody who works on the tech team. See, I can't do any of the things that all of our worship team and tech team do. That's why I'm so thankful that they're willing to come and do it so that we can have a great time of worship together. And I want to tell you, something special happens when God's people gather together, when they make an offering of their time, when they make an offering of their talents, when they're willing to share. God is honored by that. It is a party in his honor. It smells good to him. He's attracted by it, and he comes in an extra special way. Psalm 22, verse 3 says, God is enthroned on the praises of his people. That means that when we're gathered together for worship like we are right now, Jesus comes in his kingly authority. He comes as Jehovah Sabaoth, the captain of the Lord's hosts, the commander of the angel armies. And when Jesus shows up in his kingly authority, the enemy cannot stay here. He has to go with all of his dominions and all of his harassments. He has to leave. It's not the house that we're excited to see. It's the Lord of the house that we're eager to meet with and the people of the house that we're eager to fellowship with. I love this place. It is beautiful to me. It is precious to me. I can't wait to get here. I eagerly look forward to it. It's the dwelling place of Jehovah Sabaoth, and it's the courts where God's people are gathered together. That's my prayer, that all of us would feel that same excitement about getting here. Looking at Psalm 84, I see a few reasons to be excited to get here, and I want to share them with you quickly. On your way in, you might have received an outline of today's sermon, and if you like, you can watch the screens, listen, fill in the blanks, and follow along. A few reasons to get excited about being here. First of all, get excited because soul satisfaction is found in here. Soul satisfaction is found in here. You know, knowing Jesus is kind of a funny thing. When we know Jesus, he first makes us hungry in a special kind of a way, and then he comes and he satisfies that hunger. C.S. Lewis, one of the greatest Christian thinkers and writers of the 20th century, did a commentary on the Psalms, and of Psalm 84, he titled it An Appetite for God, and that's precisely right. The psalmist is expressing a spiritual hunger that can only be satisfied in the presence of God and in the fellowship of God's people. Jesus talked about that on the Sermon on the Mount. He said, "Blessed are those who are continually starving and who are desperately thirsty for righteousness, they alone shall be stuffed full." You see, that's what it's like when we love Jesus. When we love him, we continually experience hunger and then wonderful satisfaction in his presence. And then the psalmist describes all the benefits that come from being in his presence. In his presence, we find significance. He writes in verse 2, "The sparrow has found a home for herself." Do you know that in the Bible, sparrows are symbols of insignificance? Jesus talked about it. He said, 5 sparrows sell for just 1 farthing. A farthing was the smallest coin. It was the smallest possible denomination of money. Get your sparrows here. We've got a deal. 5 sparrows for just 1 penny. They're insignificant. And yet, Jesus said, look at how God cares for the sparrows. God feeds the sparrows. If one falls to the ground, God notices, he knows it, and he cares about it. And you are much more valuable to him than many sparrows. Little sparrows find a place in God's house, and it's true for us too. We find a place to belong here. Insignificant people find significance in here. They find meaning. They find purpose for their lives. People who are undervalued by the world find infinite value here in God's house. In his presence, we also find rest. The swallow has found a nest for herself. This particular bird that the psalmist names is named after the Hebrew word for flittering and fluttering. It's a little bird that is notoriously jittery. It's notoriously restless. It can't settle down. But in God's house, this jittery little bird finds a place where it can be at rest. And the same is true for us. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah 57:20 that people who don't know the Lord are as restless as the ocean. They're constantly churning. They're constantly in motion. They're constantly foaming. But Jesus said, "Come unto me and I will give you rest." Just yesterday, the Barna Group, in cooperation with World Vision, published the results of a study finding that people who attend church suffer from far less emotional and mental disorders and illnesses than people who do not attend church. You see, in here, in Father's house, in his presence, discontent people find fulfillment. Anxious people find security. Confused people find clarity. Stressed people find relief. Worried people find comfort. Nervous people find calm. Troubled people find deliverance. In His presence, listen, we find everything we need to live a productive life and then to leave behind a good legacy. The swallow has found a nest for herself, a place where she may have her young, a place near your altar. This particular little nervous bird, this little swallow, it couldn't reproduce unless it found a nesting place where it could settle down and be still. And the same is true for us. Unless we find a place of rest, we can't really lead a productive life, and we won't leave a good legacy behind. If you want to know what's on the horizon here at HTC for 2020, we are going to concentrate on our legacy. Now that this building is done, it's not paid for, but it's built, and now that it is, we are going to concentrate everything we've got on reaching the next generation for Jesus Christ. We're going to concentrate everything we have on building a nest near the altar for young adults and for students and for the next generation so that they can live productive, fruitful, healthy, happy lives, and we'll leave a good legacy behind us. It's interesting that the place where the sparrow and the swallow find rest is near the altar of sacrifice. Just to refresh your memory a little bit, in the Jewish temple, out front was a big open courtyard, and in the middle of that courtyard was an altar where animals were sacrificed daily to cover the sins of the people. It's at the place of justice, it's at the place where God deals with our sins that we find true peace and true rest. The New Testament tells us that that altar in the Jewish temple was a picture of the cross of Jesus Christ. You see, on the cross, Jesus took upon himself the penalty for our sins, and he paid them in full. Jesus' final word from the cross, "It is finished," literally means paid in full. And just like the sparrow and the swallow near the altar in the temple, it's at the cross where we truly find significance and where we truly find rest. You see, there's a moment of believing on Jesus. There's a moment of believing in what he did for us on the cross, where our sins are lifted off of us and placed on him. And in their place, his righteousness is put upon us, and we are at peace with God, and we find our true significance. You know, I want you to get excited about being here, because every time we meet, someone could receive that wonderful gift, maybe even today. A few reasons to get excited about being here. Soul satisfaction is found here, and second, power to change is found in here. Power to change is found in here. As Psalm 84 unfolds, it moves from in here to out there. The psalmist says, because we have been in here, our experience will be different out there, and we will make a difference out there. Beloved, listen to me. Because you were in here this morning, your experience is going to be different out there this week, and you're going to make a difference out there this week. There are some things that change when we're in His presence. First of all, in His presence, our attitude and our speech are changed. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. When we've come into his presence, our attitude changes and our mouth is full of praise. In his presence, bad attitudes are changed into beatitudes. In his presence, bitterness is changed into contentment. Self-pity is changed into gratitude. Entitlement is changed into humility in his presence. Anger is changed into gladness. Profanity is changed into words of praise. And biting criticism is changed into words of blessing. We've been having a great time in Cleansing Stream on Wednesday nights. Where's my crew? If you're part of my Wednesday Stream crew, hold your. There's my Cleansing Stream crew. We've been having a great time. Okay, I call my group the Box of Chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. Every week, it's something a little bit of different. Last week, we had a great time talking about forgiveness. And this Wednesday, we're going to talk about speaking words of life. Listen to me. God wants our mouths to be full of praise. God wants our mouths to be full of gratitude. God wants our mouths to be full of blessing. God doesn't want us to speak curses over people. He doesn't want us to speak condemnation over people. He doesn't want us to speak words that take them down. God wants us to speak words that minister life, that bring conviction, that lift people up, and that bless them. We're going to talk about that. When we come in his presence, he changes our attitude, and the words of our mouth change to words of praise. Also in his presence, our perspective and our focus in life are changed. Our perspective and focus in life are changed. Blessed are those who cherish the pilgrim's highways in their heart. You see, in his presence, we come to realize that our life here on earth is just a spiritual pilgrimage. We are just passing through. Beloved, listen to me. This is not all there is. This is not our final destination. We don't live only for today. We're just camping out here for a little while. Can I tell you that it really changes the way that you deal with hardships when you know that they're just temporary? We've had the privilege of traveling all over the world doing missions work. And on some of the missions trips we've taken, we have endured some pretty interesting circumstances. We've endured beastly heat and humidity. We've endured bugs the size of robins. Look up a rhinoceros beetle. I screamed like a little girl and ran out of the room and left my two children in the room alone with the rhinoceros beetle. Dr. Rana rescued me. We've endured cold showers, no electricity. We've endured exotic food. And speaking of exotic food, I won't even get into the toilet situations that we have endured. But can I tell you that it is all manageable when you know that it's just temporary? I want to tell you the truth. At home, I have a bed that is so comfortable that I honestly wrestle with guilt some nights when I go to bed. I say, Lord, this bed is so comfortable, and I am so happy to get in it. This must be a sin. That this must be like too much luxury. It must be overindulgent. And no matter where in the world we go, and no matter what inconveniences we might have to endure, knowing that I have a bed waiting for me at home in just a few days makes all the difference. And that's the perspective that we get in his presence. We get the heart of a spiritual pilgrim. I am just passing through. My ultimate destination is heaven, is the courts above, is the presence of the Lord. The focus of my life is to make it to heaven. The focus of my life is to be fit for heaven. The focus of my life is to receive a rich reward from my Father in heaven. The focus of my life is to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those who cherish the pilgrim's pathways in their hearts. Changed attitude, changed speech, changed perspective and focus. Also, this is my favorite part right here. In his presence, we receive an atmosphere-changing anointing. The psalmist says, as the pilgrims pass through the valley of Baca or the valley of weeping, they transform it into a place that's full of blessing. On the way to and from the temple, religious pilgrims had to cross a desert valley. There was a shrub that grew in that valley, a desert shrub that wept, little drops of moisture, and that was the only thing to drink. That's why they call it the Valley of Weeping. But the psalmist says something happens as the pilgrim's feet pass through that desert place. It becomes not a desert anymore, but a place that is covered with pools of blessing. Beloved, I want to tell you why you should get excited about being here is because in here you receive the anointing of the Lord to change your atmosphere out there. I want to tell you, in here you will receive an anointing to change the atmosphere in your home. I grew up in a divided house, spiritually speaking. My mom, my middle sister, and I were saved. My eldest sister and my dad were not saved, and my dad was an alcoholic. My dad wasn't a mean drunk. He was kind of a happy, peaceful drunk. My dad was mean when he wasn't drunk. He was a real perfectionist. He liked everything a certain way, in a certain place, in certain order, and if anything broke or anything was out of order, he would fly off into a rage. And the atmosphere in our home wasn't very comfortable. It was very uptight. It was very nervous. We all walked around on eggshells trying not to set my father off. But when my mom got saved, somebody told her, "Ginny, you have authority in your house now to change the atmosphere in that house." And I want to tell you something. By the way, I always forget to tell this. Later on, my sister Laurie got saved. She's serving the Lord. And I led my dad to the Lord in 2006. And he went home to be with Jesus. But I want to tell you what. Back in those days, it was rough. And my mom, I'll never forget. I can still see it. She wrote on a little thin piece of paper. She wrote in her hand, "God brings order out of chaos." And she taped that on the cabinet that hung over the kitchen sink. And she looked at it every day while she was doing dishes and working in the kitchen. And my mom, through the word of God, through the power of worship, through the power of prayer, took authority and she changed the atmosphere in our house. I want to tell you, our house went from a place where nobody wanted to be to a place where everybody wanted to be. People would come to our house. We took in many, over the years, we took in many people going through problems, people who needed prayer, people who needed counseling would come and stay with us for bits of time, and people who were not able to sleep anywhere else would sleep like the dead in my mother's house because there was an atmosphere of peace and rest over that place. Listen to me, you don't have to live at home in an atmosphere that is full of chaos and that is full of anger and that is full of uptightness and nervousness. In the name of Jesus, you have authority and you have an anointing that you get in here to change the atmosphere there. I'm preaching at you this morning. You can change your atmosphere at work. Do you know you can do it? Go in early. A number of years ago, we had a woman worked for a local government, not the town of Greenwich. It was somewhere else, but she worked in the local town government offices, and the atmosphere, there was a lot of problems, a lot of chaos, and so she started going in 15 minutes early to work every morning, and she just walk quietly praying under her breath. Do you know that everything changed? The entire atmosphere of that office changed. Some people moved up, some people moved out, some people changed and came back and apologized for their behavior and their attitude and the way they had worked. And God transformed. You can transform the atmosphere of your workplace. Let me tell you, your neighborhood doesn't even know how blessed they are because you live in that neighborhood. When you moved in, property values went up 20% instantly. Your neighborhood is a better place to live because you live there. It's more peaceful. It is safer. It is a more pleasant, attractive place because you are there. You have an anointing to change the atmosphere around you. You can make a difference out there because of what you receive in the presence of the Lord in here. Power for change is found in this place. That's why you ought to be excited to get here. We have a pilgrim's heart. I'm just passing through this place, but while I'm passing through, God is going to pass out blessings through me. Few reasons to get excited to be here. Number one, soul satisfaction is found here. Number two, power to change is found here. Finally, this, manifest blessings are found here. Because we've been in here, the psalmist ends with a bunch of blessings that we'll experience out there. Here's just a few of them for you. First of all, in his presence, we receive supernatural strength. Verse 5, blessed are those whose strength is in you. Verse 7, they go from strength to more strength till each one appears before God in Zion. The journey of Psalm 84 ends in a most unexpected way. Rather than wearing out from the journey, the pilgrims get stronger and stronger. Rather than growing travel weary, they are more travel ready at the end of the trip than ever. Rather than being fatigued, they are refreshed. And beloved, listen to me, because you have been in here on Sunday morning, I want to tell you, you can expect the same thing this week out there. On Monday, you can expect that God's grace will supply you with everything you need to abound in every good work. On Tuesday, expect everything you touch to prosper. On Wednesday, expect to be able to do all things through Christ who gives you strength. On Thursday, expect to be able to run through a troop and leap over a wall. On Friday, don't expect to be worn out dragging your wagon. Expect to mount up with wings like eagles, baby. On Saturday, sleep in if you must. Listen to me. Saturday is your only day to sleep in, not Sunday. Some of you all need to change your thinking a little bit. That's good preaching right there. I didn't preach so hard to the first service. They can't take it, but you can take it. On Sunday, get yourself back in here to the house of God to receive a fresh dose of that strength that you need for the next week. Manifest blessing. In his presence, we receive supernatural strength. In his presence, we received answered prayers for our country and for ourselves. Don't have time to look at this, but in verses 8 and 9 of this psalm, there is a prayer for the king, for David. He says, listen to my prayer. Look upon our shield with favor. Look upon the anointed one, the shield of the nation. The anointed one is David, the king. And so let me tell you, we talked about an atmosphere-changing anointing. What is true at home, what is true in our workplace, what is true in our neighborhood is true in the bigger picture. We have the authority to change the atmosphere in this country. I believe that with my whole heart. Listen, I'm 53, and I'm not near ready to give up fighting. I am not going to stand and watch America just go down the tubes. We have power in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have power in fasting and prayer. We have power in praise. We have power in our witness. We are in a pre-revival era. Do it again, Lord. We have the anointing and the authority to change the atmosphere in the state of Connecticut and in the state of New York. And in New York City and in the Northeast and in the nation. I believe it. Next blessing, supernatural strength. We receive in his presence divine protection. Divine protection, verse 13, the Lord God is a blazing shield. So in ancient warfare, an army would form a battle line early in the morning. And they would face into the sun. Their enemy would be lined up opposite them. But when that shining sun would come up, they would raise their metal shields up in the air, and the sun would glint off of those shields, and it would make the enemy squint. It was a pure intimidation tactic. It was nothing more than to intimidate the enemy and say, look at how big we are. Look at how strong we are. And it worked. And that's what the psalmist says God does for us. He is Lord Sabaoth. He is a shining, blazing shield. He's the commander of the angelic armies of heaven. And what God does is he causes the angel armies to raise their shield against the enemy so that it makes him squint and it makes him back away and back off of us. Manifest blessings in his presence. We receive supernatural strength, divine protection. In his presence, we receive divine favor. Verse 13, the Lord bestows favor and honor. Beloved, listen, because you were in here this week, there are some doors that are going to open for you out there. Some new opportunities coming your way. Some new clients are coming your way. Some promotions are coming your way. We've been praying earnestly during the month of October. We've fasted and we've prayed for financial blessing over our congregation. And we had testimony after testimony this last week in our life groups of people who have received pay raises, people who have received promotions, people who have moved forward, new opportunities, their businesses are growing because God bestows favor on you. Listen, I feel in my heart that God is going to bestow favor on someone so that there's a conflict going on right now, I think in the workplace, and there's going to be a favorable resolution. There's going to be a favorable outcome because the favor of God surrounds you like a shield. And even in court cases are going to come down and they're going to be settled in your favor in Jesus' name. Manifest blessings, supernatural strength, divine protection, divine favor. Finally, we'll end with this one. In his presence, we receive divine provision. Worship team, you can come help me finish. The Lord God is a blazing shield. He bestows favor and honor. And listen to the words of the Bible. Listen to this. Listen, I believe these promises. That's how we bought this land. That's how we built phase one. That's how we built phase two. Because I actually believe this will happen. And it has. No good thing. Come on, I want you to say those words with me. No good thing. Come on, say it again. No good thing will he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Now let me say something about that word blameless. It doesn't mean perfect. It means righteous in Christ. It means we're in covenant and our sins are covered by the blood of the Lamb. Doesn't mean that you have to do everything perfectly. It means you just have to be walking in covenant relationship with him, and no good thing will he withhold from you. Listen, if you have a shortfall in your life, this is how I pray sometimes. We have needs here and you have needs at home, and sometimes you have to just climb the mountain like Moses did, and you have to pray some you said prayers. God, you said, no good thing will you withhold from those whose walk is blameless. You said, my God shall supply all my needs. Katatu, in proportion to, not in proportion to my needs, but in proportion to his ability to supply. God, you said, I'll be mighty in the land and I'll do great exploits. God, I didn't write this stuff. You said it, God. I'm just reminding you, no good thing will he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. I want you to be excited about getting here. I want you to think differently about Sunday. I want you to look forward to it. I love this place. This place is precious to me. I'm eager to get here, not for a building, but because the living presence of God is here. And because God's beautiful people are here. A single day in your courts is better than 1,000 somewhere else. I'd rather be a doorkeeper. I'd rather be a greeter in God's house than to live in the palaces of pleasure where the wicked are. I pray that same excitement, I pray that same eagerness would be in your heart too. Would you stand with me and give Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, a great big praise in this place today? Oh, come on, church. Let's give God a good praise in this place today. Hallelujah. I want to close in a way that we used to close often in the old sanctuary. We're going to just spend one moment worshiping the Lord together. And I want you to just, if you will, I want to invite you to come out of your seats, come and join me here at the front. And I want us to just stand here and worship for just a moment. And I want us to just receive from His presence all these wonderful blessings of being in here. Would you come and join us? We're just going to lift up a song. Caleb's going to lead us. Caleb, you're awesome. Caleb, this last week on Tuesday evening, we had about 400 teenagers and young adults here in the building, and this team right here, Caleb and Kayla and Scott and Noah, they all did an amazing job leading worship on Tuesday evening. Come on, we're going to get in His presence. We're going to worship just this moment in His presence. In here is going to change everything about your week out there. Do you believe that? Because I believe it with my whole heart. Come on, let's just worship Him. Lift up your face, lift up your hands. Let's worship Him.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for You. Jesus. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for You. Oh, we live for You. In total. Jesus, the only one who could ever say, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for You. Oh, we live for You. And holy, there is no one like You. There is none beside You. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show with Your heart and me.
Come on, give him a good praise. Well, I'm gonna pray for you in just one moment. We'll be done. But while we were worshiping, I just really feel like there's someone here and you're going through something right now where you really need to be protected. And you've even felt like you're all alone going through this and you have no one to protect you. You have no one to advocate for you. Someone's pursuing you. I don't know whether it's a workplace situation or whether it's just a relationship that's abusive, I don't know, but someone's pursuing you and you need protection and you felt like, Lord, I'm all alone in this. And I just felt like we were worshiping like God caused the angel armies of heaven to raise up a shining shield. Your enemy is squinting. He's intimidated. He's going to back off of you. I want you to just confess. If that's you going through that right now, I want you to just confess every day. The favor of God surrounds me like a shield. The Lord God is my shining shield. He's making my enemy squint. He's making my enemy back off. Would you just lift up your hands and let me pray for you? Father, thank you for your beautiful people. Oh, Lord, we love this place. This place is precious to us. Lord, we're eager to get here. We always anticipate, not because of a building, but because of your beautiful presence and because of your beautiful people. Lord, I pray right now in this moment in your presence that you would just download into us everything in here that we need to have a different experience out there and to make a difference out there. Right now, in the name of Jesus, supernatural strength, Lord, in physical bodies, supernatural strength in our minds, supernatural strength in our will, in our decision-making, Lord. Father, right now, come on, lift up your hands, the provision of the Lord on your people. Your word declares, blessed is the man who delights himself in you. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of living water. His leaf will never fade or wither. I want you to stop speaking over yourself. I'm not going to make it. I'm losing it. I'm falling apart. I want you to stop speaking those things over yourself. I want you to start speaking the word of God. I am like a tree. I'm planted. I'm well watered. My leaf will not. Come on. I want you to start this week. Don't start this week expecting to be dragging your wagon by Friday. Start this week expecting to receive more strength every day of the week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you're going to feel better than Monday. Friday, you're going to feel better than Tuesday. You're going to gain strength from the Lord. Come on, lift up your hands. Just wiggle your fingers if you're willing. Jesus, let everything your people touch this week prosper. Let everything they touch prosper. Lord, prosper the work of their hands. Lord, let it bring a good result and a good financial return. Jesus, prosper their relationships, Lord. Every person they touch, Lord, let that relationship flourish. Let it prosper, Lord Jesus. You said, you promised us, Lord. God, you said no good thing would you withhold from us when we're walking blamelessly in covenant. That doesn't mean we always get it right, but it means we're in covenant with you through the blood of Christ, through faith in him, Lord. Father, I pray that your favor would be around your people. Open doors, open doors, open doors, open doors, open doors. Favor in real estate transactions on your people this week, Lord. Favor in securing a place to live on your people this week, Lord. Favor in the workplace, Lord. Favor in the community, Lord Jesus. We thank you for it. Come on, would you just say, Lord, I receive it. In Jesus' name. Come on, give him one more good praise in this place. God bless you, everybody. If there's anybody that would like special prayer, our teams will be right here to minister. If you're new to Harvest Time, I'd love to meet you in the reception room. The Connect desk is in the lobby for Discovery Track and Life Groups. Cafe's open downstairs. It's pouring rain, so go have a cup of coffee and maybe it'll stop. God bless you, everybody. Have a great week. Lord be with you.